Imagine being like gay or something like that. Kevin, we've been sleeping together for like 8 months. Okay, but that's not like gay, you know? Kevin, you're literally a bottom.
Kevin, you name but sh-
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, an LGBT podcast streaming live on Digital Stream Radio, where you can access that live stream by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. We do live stream at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Monday. And today we're going to welcome back Dr. Evan Goldstein for this month's Tales from the Tale. The topic for this month is going to be 10 ways to explore your sexual self. My name is Tom, and I am your host, and as always, I'm here with my amazing co-host, starting with the first one.
Hey, y'all, Nick or Trish.
And?
It's Elsie.
And thank you all for joining us. The dish is going to be a little weird because we're all on a time delay, but we're doing the dish. So if I count to three, can we do it? One, two, three. The dish. See, I'm telling you, that's why I wanted to sort of kind of like, yeah, we shouldn't do that today. But anyway, welcome back. It's another week. It's Monday. So we're dishing. I want to thank my co-host for practicing social distancing and joining us via this amazing service, StreamYard. And I want to toss it out to both of those amazing, beautiful people that you see on your screen. If you are on Facebook Live or on YouTube. Thank you. Anyway, why don't we start off, ladies first, with Elsie. Elsie, how are you, my dear?
What?
That is an insult.
Ladies first.
Your mom's a lady. Trish, please.
No, it's okay.
I'm a very, very, very serious gentleman. You go.
No, it's fine. You go.
Well, Trish first.
All right, fine, whatever. What am I supposed to talk about?
How are you?
I'm fine. Another week has gone by.
And we've made it so far.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, clearly I haven't done anything, so there's not much to update. I did a puzzle last night.
That's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to talk about that text?
Which one?
The text about the puzzle.
Oh, sure. I'll read it. So, whatever. Oh, my God.
So last night we were all like Nick, myself, and another friend of ours. I'll give you one guess as to what the name is.
Elsie?
No.
No. Elsie, what is your guess?
Oh, Elsie, a guess.
As to what you were talking about?
As with who he was having a conversation with.
Was it fucking Steve?
Yes. where is it? I'm trying to find it. 1 second. Oh, here it is. All right. So last night, Steve sent a couple pictures of like what he was having for dinner. And then I sent a picture of what I was doing, which was a puzzle. And basically, it wasn't together at all. I had like a corner piece done. And his response was, is that our relationship? And my response was, pretty much, I keep trying to put it together. And then Steve's fucking response, which I didn't notice until today, was, I hit a couple pieces. That motherfucker. And then I was like, I'm magic, bitch. I'll find it.
So, hello, everyone on Facebook Live. Mama Kim, thank you for joining us. She actually guessed Steve, ?
Of course.
So we were in that conversation together, and I said, Nick, did you notice that he said he stole a couple of pieces? Like, you're missing some because he's got them? Yeah. I thought that was funny. And of course, you know, we were drinking and all that good stuff. And so, you know, that's pretty much how it goes. So, Elsie, my dear. How are you? How have you been?
I've decided that my answer to that question is going to be, I've been great.
Great.
I'm still working.
Which is good.
I am healthy. Mm-hmm. I think I hit like a wall where I'm like, I need to get out of this house. I don't like my space as much as I thought. And then I bring some perspective, like, you know, you're home, you're working, bills are still being paid. There's a paycheck in your account every 2 weeks. Life is wonderful.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that because I was talking to Tom this weekend because I've been sitting in this house for 4 weeks and I'm like, I'm looking at my blinds. I'm like, I got to replace them. Like, there are so many things that I've put off that I want to do now. But now, like you both know, and our listeners, I took a 20% pay cut. And Tom's response was, now, is that really fiscally smart to start ordering blinds and doing stuff in your house when you basically just deferred your car loan for 2 months? I was like, yeah, you're probably right.
I know. But I mean, it's so listen. So when you're restless and you're home and all you're doing is looking at your four walls, think of it this way. You're not stuck at home. You're safe at home. Right?
I think that's what I've been telling myself.
I think perspective really helps put you in a different state of mind when it comes to being confined into spaces. But, you know, but when you are in those spaces, safe at home, you start looking on things. I'm like, oh, my God, I need to do that. And I need to do this. And I'm like, is it really necessary for you to risk being infected and getting sick just because you want to go grab a can of paint and paint a room in your house or change your blinds or, you know, just relax, let things settle down. I know that we have all the time in the world. Because we're doing nothing at home. Well, I mean, I wouldn't say nothing, but, you know, we're home and we're thinking, oh, my God, I can use this time to catch up on so many different things. And then you say to yourself, you know, maybe I should go. And you really have to sort of kind of stop yourself and say, should I? Right? Is it safe?
Yeah. I mean, I was supposed to go to Florida this week. I decided that I was not going to go. I was going to drive down and spend the rest of quarantine with my parents. And I started having like a panic attack about it to the point where I thought like to the point where I was like, I have a fever. I can't breathe. Like, that's how bad it got, thinking that I had it or whatnot. And the decision I made was, you know, I think the smartest one. You know, it sucks that I can't be with my family, but at the same time, I don't want to risk picking something up along the way and infecting them. I don't want to risk getting infected. They're both older. Yeah, it would be great to be sitting by a pool right now, but instead I am at home still at my dining room table with a mic and two monitors, and I've been here all day. Hello.
And it's a beautiful thing. So, speaking of, you know, being confined and in spaces and trying to take care of ourselves and keeping safe, the federal government now has made the suggestion, which some states like California have made them all along. A lot of governors had already been saying this before the federal government decided to actually do it. But they're recommending that we, as people, go ahead and start wearing masks to further protect ourselves while we're out and about. If you need to go out, you should have one. And I'm mentioning this because not only because it's smart, but because our dear, our amazing dear Mama Kim is making masks, and she made four adorable masks for each one of us. And I wanted to show you guys what it looks like.
I'm so excited about them.
And they're rainbow. And they're amazing.
That's why I'm excited about them.
And so she'll be sending those over. They should arrive Wednesday, and then we'll have to figure out how we can safely distribute the masks to each one of our cast members so that we could have them and wear them in public. But isn't that amazing?
You will make sure you go on Etsy because they're already there and you can order yours.
That's right. And so she is making masks. She is on Etsy. And you'll be able to get some when she puts them up for sale. But these are coming directly in the mail for us. And it's a beautiful thing. I'm super excited.
So the whole, everybody's going through this whole, oh, you know, it wasn't safe before. It was no good before. I think the idea is that for those people who have no symptoms that are walking around getting people sick,
they're asymptomatic. Yeah.
So that they're kind of not going around getting people sick because they have no symptoms. Because before it was only if you have symptoms, and people were like, this is why I don't trust the news, because first we were told not to. Before, the fear was that you were taking masks away from those who were sick for no reason, because you weren't sick, but because you can be asymptomatic and still infect other people. That's the reasoning behind using the masks now. It's not to protect yourself. It's to potentially protect others, because you may be infecting people without even knowing it.
And not only that, but I mean, if you're out in public and people, you know, and there's particles in the air or whatever, having something over your face that covers your face could potentially minimize the possibility of you, you know, taking in some of those dangerous air particles that could end up giving you COVID-19. So, I mean, all in all, if you have one, make sure that you're using it. If you're going to out in public, you're going to the store, going somewhere, and then, you know, of course, just good hygiene, wash your hands, make sure don't touch your face, especially around the area of your mouth, your nose, your eyes, with hands that you have not washed yet. And you know, just be safe. Be safe. It's all we can do. Hopefully this will be over sooner than later. And we'll be able to, you know, sort of kind of go back to normal.
So let me ask everybody. So what are we all doing to stay sane? Anything?
Whenever I have to collaborate with any one of my coworkers, I FaceTime their asses.
Yeah. I tried, but she doesn't answer my FaceTime calls.
One time, Tom.
But don't feel bad. Neither does Nick. So Nick,
no, you don't answer me. Anyway, go on.
Well, Nick does it because he just wants to be a diva. If I'm on a conference call, I can't. Or if I'm making offers, which I do make after hours because it's the best time to get people on the phone, so we're not playing phone tag. What's your excuse, Nick? See that save there?
What am I doing? Oh, my excuse for not picking up FaceTime?
Yes.
It depends. What time of day? Mm-hmm. Is my face done? Have I done my hair or taken a shower? There are a lot of elements to me picking up a FaceTime call. But if you call me Monday through Friday, after 9 a.m., I'm showered and ready to go. So
she has no choice. She's working, so she has to have that face on.
Actually, no. Sorry. Monday through Thursday now. I no longer work on Fridays.
Well, you know, I think this Friday is Good Friday, right? Is it this Friday or the following?
I think, I have no idea. Wasn't it Easter Sunday this past weekend? I'm so bad.
No.
It is Good Friday. So, you know, a lot of companies will be off. So you'll have a day off. Yeah. Mm. Easter is Sunday. And it's also my little brother's birthday. And it's so sad that we can't get together and celebrate. So we're going to have to figure something out. So I know that your favorite friend, Steve, has a birthday in April. My little brother's the 12th. I'm the 15th. So, I mean.
And my dad's the 16th.
Things are flying. A lot of April babies.
It's crazy.
Lord have mercy. So, well, to answer Nick's question, I would say that some of the things that I'm doing to avoid losing my mind, I believe, is keeping busy and doing things in the house when I have an opportunity. I've started to take this, you know, attitude of, you know, this is my home and it's not going to clean itself, or something is not going to get done unless I take pride and do it myself. And so I've been doing a lot of that and tackling little things that I've been wanting to do for a while and just getting them done. And then just, you know, also taking care of my babies. So I gave them haircuts. And all the hair is completely gone, but they look so cute. And and I just stay busy, you know, and try to reach out to people. Like Nick and myself are constantly on FaceTime. And even if we're not saying anything, just the notion that I know that someone's there just makes it that much better, right? That you're not literally alone. And we need to appreciate technology, appreciate the fact that you can actually see someone, because not too long ago in 2006, we didn't have, unless you were, you know, on Skype, we didn't have FaceTime, right?
So speaking of which, so my sister introduced me to a new app. It's called House Party. and it is so much fun. So basically what it is, it's like you're FaceTiming with your family or whoever, and there are all these games you can play. Trivia, Cards Against Humanity, what is the freaking Ellen one? Help me. I can't believe I'm blanking.
YouTube?
No, but anyway, there's a lot of games that you can play. Okay. So this weekend, I played with my dad, my mom, my sister, my roommate, and all of my college roommates. And we just like FaceTimed, talked, had fun. And then after the game, you can talk, you can play another game, but it's a way to connect, but still kind of have fun. And, you know, I said I did a puzzle this weekend, and I feel like all I've been doing was watching TV, and I need to like activate my brain more and my body. And the puzzle like was really helpful in these games. Like, I didn't watch any TV on Sunday.
Yeah. Well,
good for you.
And I'm isolated.
Well, listen, so another thing to keep in mind is that just because we are told to quarantine ourselves at home and stay home, and there is a voluntary stay-at-home order, at least in this state, doesn't mean that you by yourself can go out for a healthy walk and take a walk. Just stay away from people, you know, practice social distancing, wear your mask if you have it. And those walks and going out and getting, you know, the vitamin D from that sunshine is really going to help you get that vitamin D. You know, you can't get the other vitamin, but you know, you have to really do things, but you just have to get used to doing them by yourself, which is very awkward for a lot of us, especially in the gay community, because we're all used to just getting together and having a kiki, right? Mm-hmm. And so we have to get creative on how we do that.
I think it's also important to know, I know that you and Elsie are working full time, 40 hours. Mm-hmm. And bringing in a full paycheck right now. And that may change, but probably won't because of your jobs. But that being said, as we all know, I took the pay cut, but I took the initiative to make phone calls to my car insurance, to my car loan, my landlord. Mm-hmm. And I put in place plans to pay, but at a different rate so that I'm not wiping myself out and or dipping into my savings so I can rebuild it again. People are really working together right now. And I think mm-hmm. that's really important and beautiful to see. I mean, I called my landlord and she's always been lovely, but she was just like, Nick, when you can, let me know if you want to do it weekly, if you want to do it, you know, every two okay. weeks, whatever you can do that makes sense for you, we'll do it. But I want to make sure that, you know, it's not like we're going to kick you out. Nothing's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Like, you're safe. But I'm hearing crazy stories about people that are like dealing with, you know, landlords that are crazy. I want people to know that if you have a lawyer friend, call your lawyer, because they cannot kick you out right now. In most states, they cannot do anything to actually evict you at this point.
Which is important to keep in mind. Mm-hmm. At least, you know, that is the case in Connecticut. You are protected from eviction for 90 days throughout this ordeal. And, you know, there's a lot of situations out there that will allow you to actually make things better for yourself. If you're a business, there are possibilities for you to be able to qualify for a loan, which is forgivable. Mm-hmm. That means that you can apply as long as you're using the money to keep your employees in your business and making sure that you're using that money for legitimate business purposes that contributes to the employee staying there. That loan is forgivable, and you can actually get the loan for up to $10,000. So, you know, keep that in mind as well, because you just never know. Mm-hmm. And any little bit helps, and especially if it's forgivable. If you abide by the rules and do what you have to do, you don't have to pay it back. So just to let you know, this is the website. It's covid19relief.sba.gov. That's where you can go and see what kind of loans they have, what you qualify for, and what the rules and regulations are so that you can apply for your business. It is specifically for small businesses. This was part of the package that Congress passed to help small businesses and their employees. So make sure
and nonprofits.
That you look it up. Yep, and nonprofits as well. All right. So, guys, it is 6:21 and gals. And so we're going to take a break. I need to get back to the screen. Oh, my God. This is so new for me. So we're going to take a break. We'll leave you with some music. And when we come back, we have the great Dr. G joining us. Here we go.
Greeted by a new sunrise, tomorrow's hopes are in my eyes. Paints horizons in the sky that's meant for me, meant for me. Ready now to face the day, done with fears of yesterday. Waited long enough to say I'm on the way, I'm on the way. I believe.
From the break, ladies and gentlemen, that was Believe by Going Deeper featuring Davis Mallory, a previous guest of ours. And joining us now, of course, is the amazing Dr. G for this month's Tales from the Tales. While Elsie's over there, you know, playing with dishes. I love her. So anyway, we're going to have a great conversation, 10 ways to explore your sexual self. Welcome to the show, Dr. G.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Do you hear me okay?
Oh, we can hear you perfectly fine. You are right now coming to us from a picturesque, beautiful patio. Where are you?
I have escaped New York City. We're hanging out with kids in East Hampton. The kids are doing e-learning and the usual, and now daddy actually has to teach the kids, which totally sucks. and that's it. It's actually nice out downstairs, but my office wasn't such good reception, so I figured I'd come out, you guys could watch the sunset, and we could talk about jerking off.
Fabulous. So that's amazing. So thank you once again for joining us. I know that, you know, amidst this whole COVID-19 thing, we're all trying to figure out, you know, interesting and new ways of being able to connect and to still do a show and bring great information that you yourself always provide for our listeners. So we thank you for your commitment to our show.
Totally, totally. So where do you want to start off?
Well, why don't you tee us up? We do know that we're talking about 10 ways to explore sexual, you know, one sexual self. And so tell us a little bit about the article and then we can move right in.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it stemmed obviously from obviously the COVID issue and everybody being at home and trying to figure out, one, do you actually feel sexy? Do you not? I'm really looking at a greater scheme of everything that's going on. One of the things we looked at was actually jerking off. And I think the key component is, even if you don't feel sexual at this time, the key is to keep yourself moving. Remember, it's a pump system, mm-hmm. and the prostate itself is there, and it needs to be milked all the time, and you got to keep making that happen. So even if you don't feel the greatest from the current events, every couple of days, please, even if it's just not pleasurable, just get yourself up so the prostate is constantly working.
So when we're talking about the prostate and jerking off, there are benefits to jerking off. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? I read something where it also can boost your immune system. Is that true?
No, I think the key component more is that it's boosting all the good things that make you feel pleasure. So the serotonin receptors, a lot of neurological, you know, receptors that are being stimulated. So in times like this, obviously getting off and choosing times of when it's opportunistic to do it really helps you just kind of feel better. I mean, I don't know about you, but when I usually get off, I feel pretty good after. Don't you?
Yeah, I yes. feel it in my prostate all the time.
Yes. So I think also the issue is a lot of people, if you're, there is a link between inflammation, prostatitis, and cancer formation. So if you're not getting off and it is getting irritated over time, that irritation itself could lead to long lasting either chronic prostatitis, which I see quite often. Obviously, it's where just there's a significant amount of pain. Prostate gets really, really swollen and it gets boggy. And people really feel that. You get pelvic floor dysfunction. Sometimes just even coming itself is not pleasurable. And so with that said, even also you can get a significant amount of prostatitis from bottoming. What happens is that the penetration is hitting the prostate in a bad way. Where the prostate gets irritated. So you just got to be careful with how much you pound, yeah. Nick.
Get pounded, Dr. G.
So
get pounded, but be cognizant of the right way to get pounded.
So, Dr. G, LC has joined us as a permanent host of the show going forward.
Perfect. And so we have to make sure that we incorporate not only the prostate. Is that what you're saying?
So my question to you is, are there benefits for women to masturbate?
Look at you, Tommy, all inclusive.
He is being inclusive. Perfect. Absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, orgasming for everybody is so beneficial. There's mental, you know, like we said before, the serotonin and a lot of neurotransmitters that are being released. And it feels really, really good. And it also gets you attuned to your body. And we'll get into that as we kind of move away from number one, which was the kind of jerk off component to this. And I think number two is definitely for everybody. Look at your hole, right? I talk a lot about.
I have two.
You got two?
So, Dr. G, very quickly, is there any possible way that we could have you do your audio without the headset because it's coming in just a little bit choppy?
Yes. Let me try if we could do that.
So, Elsie. While Dr. G gets set up over here, do you on occasion practice self-care yourself in a way that we boys may not understand? And can you talk about that?
I'm just going
to... Nick! Yes, I was a late bloomer, but we've covered that before the show. But yes, I do. Yes, I do. And I think the idea and the stimulants that we all use to kind of help ourselves in that process is about the same. Hmm. The mechanism is what's a little different. But
can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
I'm taking care of my prostate, though.
Well, let's go back to Dr. G. So, Dr. G, thank you. How are you doing now? Let's try it.
I'm good. Can you hear me?
That is much better. Fantastic. Oh,
perfect. Okay, so let's just jump into number two, which was look at your hole, right? I think the nice thing about this time is you could really do a lot of self-reflection, but also really good anatomical examination to really, really take a look and see. First off, you want to do from a medical and physical inspection to make sure you're not missing anything that's completely visible. And obviously from that, you could also look and see if it's sexy. What does it look like? And how do you kind of get yourself into a good spot? Especially there's a lot of downtime right now.
We should definitely all look at our hole. So what are things that people should look for if you don't think your hole is okay, what are things that people should like just kind of flag?
I mean, I think extra skin that's in the area. Some people have issues with the extra skin tags that can develop from either hemorrhoids or fissures. And those sometimes cause not only aesthetic concerns, but functionally. So sometimes people are using toys, and we'll get into that with the next one of playing with your hole. But some of these things actually cause bleeding or irritation or some other problems.
Okay, so I'm nervous to look at my hole, but okay.
Nick, don't put any mirrors closer.
Your hole is perfect. What are you talking about?
It will be after you're done with it.
when he fixes it. Anyway.
You guys need to know, with all due respect to Dr. G's partner, I am so rooting for this to happen.
Dr. G has already seen me.
For that dinner.
Just not my hole.
But I've seen lots of holes, Nick. I mean, it's like a lot of the holes they all look the same after a while.
Okay.
Good point.
So looking at your hole typically would lead to something. So what is number three?
Number three is to play with it, right? One of the things that we're coming out with tomorrow is just using your time. A lot of people tell me that they don't have enough time to use toys or dilators or start to stretch, and they always wanted to bottom more. But so I think the key component is over the next 4 to 6 weeks is to really start kind of using it and play with it and understand it and experience it and see what feels good, what feels bad, what's the right positions for things, what's the way that's the best toys to use, especially in the men, the prostate massage from the toys can really cause amazing elevation of orgasm. So I think the key is using this time to really get the self-relaxed and also self understand where you are in the lease, so that you can kind of hopefully when we get out of this, use this in a way that's going to keep you where you want to be anally.
This is also kind of a perfect time for people if you've ever thought of bottoming or wanted to try it. You're home, you're working, just get a butt plug and put it up there. Stretch, dilate yourself, have a little fun with it. Totally. You're on a conference call with everybody and you're just like, they have no idea that I have a butt plug in right now.
So here's the one. Nick is right. You can put a butt plug all the way in your ass while you're having this conversation. Actually, I have one in right now. You didn't even know.
That's amazing. Actually, I did because of that photo you sent me earlier, but I sent you one back, which I have one as well. So anyway.
But
this is happening in a group chat.
Let me just explain though. In the beginning, the problem with putting a butt plug in and leaving it in is that a lot of swelling can happen. So most of those toys, what it is you put it in and it stays in, right? But when you try to get it out, sometimes there's so much swelling that happens that it becomes quite difficult and you can tear. So you just gotta be really, really careful. Like, be a little bit more experienced with the toys before you with it in for long periods, because you can cause a lot of damage to the muscle and skin.
I'm clutching my pearls.
Oh my god. Do you have a line of butt plugs, right? Is it available for purchase?
So
because they have different sizes, correct?
Different sizes. We use a lot of different companies depending upon. Some people like water-based lube. And so with that being said, obviously the key is to use specific toys that are safe for that. Also work and partner with some great partners for silicone lubes. So yes, we are coming out with the store that has a lot of what I really love. So check back on Bespoke Surgical in a couple of weeks and you'll be able to get what you want.
I can't wait. All right, so moving on to number four. This is interesting, actually four and five, because I have a personal story about it. But do you want to tell us a little bit about four?
Yeah, four and five are pretty, you know, are I think even four, five, and maybe even seven. They're all just about using different forms of erotica to get you where you want to be. And a lot of people may not have done it before, but either using erotic stories or sexting or doing just kind of light pleasure type of, stories can really get you to where you want to be. And a lot of it now is kind of just taking risks outside your normal comfort zone so that you're kind of exploring different things that may potentially get you off. I mean, erotic stories are super, super hot. Nick?
What? I missed that last part. What did you say?
Oh, I said erotic stories are super hot. And I think you wanted to tell us something, right?
Oh, well, I listen to erotic stories all the time, but that's beside the point. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, I was funny. The funny story is that I have reverted back to... I'm so sexually deprived right now that I've reverted to a place where I'm sexting my exes for inappropriate things. Like, it's bad. I mean, they're responding, though, but...
And chances are they're all named Steve.
But I guess
well, three of them are.
The reality is that everybody's doing it. You know, I mean, people are reaching out to long lost and saying, please get me off, do something, you know?
I know, clearly. It's so interesting and so funny. But my other... So on top of all of this, we have a lot of... You're a parent. We have a lot of parents that are home now with their kids. What would you suggest for parents that want to keep their sex alive but have these kids that are running their life freaking all day now?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have the right answer. I think, you know, even let alone I have, you know, we're still quarantined. I have Andy here, and even, you know, by the end of the day, you don't even want to see each other. So, you don't want some dick. I mean, come on, give me a break. So with that said, I think it's finding time for yourself, whether it's in the basement, whether it's in the bathroom, whether it's in your room, you close the door, just like anything else, you're taking a walk outside to breathe the air and smell the world. You should be able to use sex in a really positive light on your own terms, on your own time. And you have to make time, just like anything else. It's not, you know, yes, the virus is here and there's different ways of living, but you should be able to make time regardless. And you should, because there's obviously such benefit to doing that as much as possible.
Even if it is just sending yourselves nasty text messages all day for when the kids go to sleep. Yeah, and exactly. Or take some Benadryl. I've heard. Not advocating it.
But I agree with you. I mean, I think erotic stuff in between, and that goes into number seven, number 10 of like taking nudes and doing some self porn and taking yourself a little bit out of your comfort zones and bringing your partners into it can really be hot. And I think also, you know, the sexting piece and bringing in a lot of people, you know, Grindr and Scruff and all these others are really now just being kind of hooking up and talking through virtual. And that virtual place can be super hot. I mean, I'm super into it. I don't know about you, Nick.
Yeah, you do. Anyway, so let's talk about, in here we also talk about sex toy play.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to dive in a little bit more. I mean, we talked about butt plugs, but like, what other things should people be looking into? I mean, you can order a lot of stuff on Amazon still, so I don't
know.
Sex stores are still open though.
Yeah, they're delivering. You know, they're definitely delivering. It's essential. Seems like it's essential, don't you think?
Yeah.
If you're going down, if you're going down, you better be dirty, you know, or playing, right? Or masturbating in some capacity. I think going beyond the ass is really key, right? Obviously, so from fleshlights to masturbation sleeves, they have these eggs. I've never tried it. Anyone of you guys tried the eggs?
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, look at you guys. The egg is this silicone that's like super, super soft. And basically, it's a one-time use. And it winds up being where you can kind of use it and jerk off with it and come into it, and then you throw it away.
Huh. I mean, at least it's clean.
Again, I'm clutching my pearls.
Yeah.
I'm learning some stuff here. I'm about to go. Where can we find these eggs?
Online. You can do it. Do you still need me to call that number, Tom, or you're okay?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, we're having a little issue because you're breaking up. So what I can do is keep you on the film. We'll mute the channel here, but we'll get you to come in. Let me just.
Okay. Let me see. I'll call you now. It says you're not available at the moment, Tom.
Oh, nasty.
Oh, he cut you off.
You're not available.
So obviously, you know, sex toys are great. Take this time to like explore a little bit and like find some new stuff. Double-sided dildos are really fun.
Yeah. Let me tell you a little bit. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, you break up a little bit, but yeah, pretty much.
Okay. So from toy play, you just got to really make sure that you're using your anal dilators before a really good fashion. And we've spoken a lot before about dilating and stretching and getting into a good groove before you jump right into crazy sex toys. All right? You got to go with a very gradual approach.
Even if you haven't had sex in a while, you've been home for 3 weeks, that's something that you would suggest for people to do?
Totally. 100%.
I'm calling you now, Dr. G.
You're calling me now? All right. I'm waiting for you to call me.
Try it again.
The moral of the story is if you think you're a power bottom, it doesn't matter. You've been in quarantine for 3 to 4 weeks. Dilate yourself.
Yes. Dilate to stretch the skin. Dilate to stretch the muscle. Because the reality is that it's a muscle and it's going to go back to being quite tight. So you got to take your time with it.
And lube.
And lots of lube. Yes, you're right.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Okay.
All right. So did you figure it out, Tom?
No, go ahead. You guys can keep going. I'll get them on.
So this kind of falls right into what we were about to talk about, which was edging, but watching softcore porn. Why is that something that you would suggest for people?
I think these are all just different suggestions and people can take it for what it is. I think that, again, softcore porn gets you to the point where it stimulates you. It may not necessarily get you off, but it gets you into the mood. Hopefully builds that serotonin and gets you really excited so that you are putting yourself a little further where you may necessarily be at this current point with all the negativity that's around us. And so again, these are all different things that people have used in their lives just anyway, and make it that much better.
I don't know what's happening right now.
I don't know either.
Well, I just called Dr. G.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Better?
Yeah, way better.
Okay. But now I hear an echo with me into the computer, but it's all good.
Much better.
No, that's okay. So I'm going to raise the volume on you so that we can hear you, and then we can see you visually, but we can hear much better. So
also, you can turn your sound off on your computer because you have your phone.
I'm going to do it now. All right.
How's that?
You hear me, but I don't hear you.
So,
unless I have the computer on, I don't hear you guys.
Oh, interesting.
But that's okay. I can listen to myself. It's all good.
Right.
You're the only opinion that matters.
The challenges of doing a live show.
I know. So let's move on because I don't want to keep you, especially because we're having technical difficulties. So number 9, try new positions. What if you're by yourself?
I think there's a lot of really different positions that people can do on your own, right? You're usually in the right, you know, the same position that you're always in. So the key is to try different things, different locations. You have a significant amount of time that you could do what you want. And you'll notice that different positions get you into different sensations. And I want that to potentially translate to when you are ready to have sex with other people, that you know what's good, what's not. And especially if you've been so vanilla for such a long time, it's nice to really spice it up and see what works and what doesn't, especially with all those new toys that you're purchasing.
All right. Sounds pretty hot. Let's do it. All right. So taking nude.
You're going to have to cancel the volume on your computer. You can't hear it on your phone?
This is just a hot mess.
Yeah.
Oh, the challenges of being live, right?
Just hang up the phone. We'll go back to the...
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay. You want me to hang up?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, Brandon. How exciting. I found Brandon just joined our watch party.
Okay. So, Dr. G, we're back to where we were before. Hopefully, we can get through this and everything will be good.
Yeah,
we'll make it happen, man. I always work through adversity.
And holes.
And holes.
Holes could be an adversity if you don't approach them correctly.
That's 100% correct.
So number 10, which is the last on your list, is taking nudes.
It's my favorite.
I've had some bad experiences with this, but tell me your thought process.
No, I want to hear your bad experience first.
Yeah.
They were just out there to people and fell into the wrong hands.
Yeah. I think that just becomes it's inevitable, I think, if you're playing in that capacity, and it becomes something to be, you know, mindful of. But I don't know, it always turns me on. Always. That was how when I met Andy, and you know, we were recording each other was through that, and I think a lot of people continue to do it that way. And I think it's super sexy and hot. It's just a matter of, you're right, it could be out there. So it's kind of cool.
But you're right. No, there is something really sex. I mean, I literally said I've been asking my exes to send me dick pics. So we get it. We understand. But it is. It's this weird nerve-wracking thing. Like, okay, is it okay to send to these people? Do I feel comfortable? I would suggest not using apps and sending your stuff on apps. And if you do, don't involve your face.
No case. That's right.
I don't know if you feel the same way.
You only want to do the face for like the live portion.
Well, it's
not that face time later.
It's important that you know, you remember that you might be all lovey-dovey now. So if you're sending nudes, cut out that face, because that is stuff that can be used against you when you break up. You know, when they do that, you know, like that revenge porn thing.
So yes, and once you send it, it's their property, so no legal recourse.
So just keep in mind that, you know, what you put out there, you can't take back. That's important to know.
Yes, or just own it. Just own it. Right. So give it to everybody.
I'll post my pictures. I'll go ahead and pop them.
So last but not least, I want to address something that is... kind of a thing. So a lot of people are still on Grindr, Tinder, Scruff, and all of that stuff, and that's great. And I think that people should social distance but continue to have conversations and engage this way. I just kind of want to know if you have a PSA about people that want to leave and go hook up with these people. Like, people are still doing that, and I just don't get it. Like, I'm too paranoid to do it, but getting your perspective would be wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, everybody knows what's socially responsible at this current point. And the key component is to stay put, stay where you are, and kind of really, really help everybody and yourself. I mean, that's the right thing to do. But, you know, in any situation, a lot of people are not choosing the right way to behave. And it just sets the rest of the community to be really affected by it. And so I just hope people use this time to use these tools in the right way on your own or with someone that you've been quarantined and sheltered with. And then as things start to unfold, we can actually start to look at the engagement side of things. And just have to be, you know, understanding yourself.
All right.
Well, I mean, unless we want to dive into a couple questions on COVID, we can just, I mean, this is great. And we will definitely share all this information on our website. But I know you have a family and we don't want to keep you. And especially because you're all in quarantine, your husband's probably like, or not husband, partner's probably inside like, what the fuck is he doing?
No, but he's like, also in the Hamptons.
I'm glad he's doing whatever the fuck.
But he's also... But
even though we're in the Hamptons, you know, the reality is that you're still stuck in one place. So yes, it's beautiful. Yes, the sun is setting. But at the end of the day, you know, it's a really, really difficult time. I mean, I think there's no right answer to any of this. Hopefully in the next couple of weeks, we'll get a little bit more understanding of where things are going. But I just hope that everybody is taking it seriously. Everybody is analyzing their own world to figure out how do we get better at whatever it is once we get out of this, and to try and keep everybody as safe as possible.
Agreed. Agreed.
And I just want to say, I know I liked your post a couple of days ago about you having to go back to New York and see some patients, but thank you so much for continuing to be there and be a medical professional in this crazy time. You are truly an inspiration. So thank you so much for still being there for everybody.
Oh, no, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. I sometimes, like I said, on some of the posts, I feel a little bit guilty that I'm not truly on the front lines. I'm just kind of trying to help with situations that arise normally. So it does, you know, sometimes it's a good and a bad for me, but I'm happy to be back and doing what I can do at the times that are appropriate.
Well, we can't thank you enough. So
agreed. Well, Dr. G, again, thank you. Forgive us. This is challenging trying to figure out, you know, all these technical issues and, you know, it works one day it doesn't, we're figuring it out. But you know what? It is truly an amazing experience when you come on our show and talk about all these, you know, these things that are important that people need to know. And we truly appreciate your time on the show.
I'm going to be so ready for butt sex.
Elsie, can you repeat that, please?
No. Watch.
I cannot with her.
Well, I think at the end of the day, explore yourself, look at yourselves, look internally, have fun as much as you can in these terrible times, play, get yourself off, and you'll feel better. And send nudes. I'll take a look.
Okay.
All right, Dr. G, I'll FaceTime you a little later.
Lord have mercy.
All right, everybody. Have a great night. All right. We'll talk to you
later. Stay safe out there, Dr. G.
Thank you, doctor.
Take care, safe.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Dr. G. Of course, you know, it was a little choppy. Forgive us. Again, this is technology. We've never used it before. We're trying to make the best of the situation.
Why did you zoom in on me? Can you back it up a little bit? Like, what the fuck?
You're beautiful, Trish.
Ugh. Jesus.
Right? He's beautiful. So anyway, so Elsie, I wanted to ask a question before, but unfortunately, you know, with all the technical issues and trying to, you know, get it right, it sucks. But you're a woman, so you should know. Can you, let's say, for example, some women may be a little small in the vagina area and might have trouble taking a bigger membrane? Do you use the same tools that we would to sort of kind of dilate and help us get, you know, be able to take bigger dicks? Do you do the same with your vagina? Can you?
You can. I will give you some of my vast experience.
Okay.
You can. It's a muscle all the same. So the mechanism to that specific aspect will be the same. So you absolutely can. Also, you know, it's a matter of psychology, I think, really, with the whole size thing. Mm-hmm. Because when our hole is a little different than yours, just a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so as far as nerve endings, you know, it's all in the vaginal cavity. So once you go past that, really, there are literally no nerves around there. So it's more of a psychological thing where you're like, yeah, I like the thought of something larger in there. You know what I mean? But there's also more flexibility with our hall than there is in yours.
Mm-hmm. I beg to differ, but okay.
Well, I mean, Trisha's
I'm sorry. Am I the only person in this podcast with both
My holes? Asshole is like Elastigirl, hello.
I'm sorry. Do I not have a butt like yours?
I don't know if you have a butt like mine, honey. I don't know. I can't answer that question.
So, Elsie, I want to warn you that... I want to warn you that in Nick's case, his has been through a meat mincer.
Oh my God, that was such a funny episode, but we need to let that go, okay?
So, yours will always be prettier. So anyway, again, that was Dr. G, and the amazing Dr. G, and the story is on medium.com. It's on his blog. Again, it is 10 ways to explore your sexual health. We'll put the link for that on tonight's episode so that you guys can read up on it yourselves and, you know, make sense of what it was that we were trying to discuss on the show. So let's go back to stories. We have one that Elsie's been itching to touch on because she's got so much to say. And Nick has a story. This one's a fun one.
I deleted it.
Why?
Because this is getting long.
Oh, I know. But we could have totally went talked about the games. Put it back. So anyway. All right. So,
Nick.
What?
Put it back.
Put it back.
I did.
So anyway. So April 1st, reporter by the name of Tim Fitzsimmons over at ABC News had published an article about a New York City resident. His name was Sabri Ben Archer. He was 39 years old. According to Fitzsimmons, this individual fell ill around March 12th, and he experienced roughly 36 hours of intense symptoms, which included fevers, included body aches, fatigue, cough, and headaches. He was pretty sure and convinced that he had all the symptoms that led to COVID-19. So he was going online and researching, and he came across this announcement from Mount Sinai Health Systems that they had announced that they were doing a convalescent plasma study in an effort to collect antibody-rich plasma of people who had recovered from COVID-19, which he did, and inject it into critically ill patients so that they could potentially benefit from having these antibodies. And so he read up on it and immediately went and signed up. He was contacted. He went in and he had blood drawn, and they had confirmed that he indeed had all these antibodies, which meant that he did go through COVID-19 and that he had recovered. That being said, an appointment was set for him to come in and give blood so that they could do this process. And hours before his appointment, he was called. He got a call from Mount Sinai saying, actually, you're not going to be able to come and donate blood because you're on Truvada, which obviously what that meant was not only are you on Truvada, you're also a gay male and you can't donate blood for the simple fact that you're on Truvada. So what bothered me about this is that many lives could potentially be saved by donating blood, yet this 20th century scientifically debunked an outdated FDA rule is preventing this man from going in and giving blood who could potentially save people that are suffering really severe symptoms of COVID-19.
So but this isn't blood, it's plasma.
Well, it's blood that is extrapolated from the plasma. Right, is extrapolated from blood. So in order for him to be allowed to donate, he would have had to, one, abstain from having sex for a whole year, which has been the policy of the FDA since the 1980s.
I can donate.
Or since the 90s. Or, well, yeah, sure. Or he would have to stop taking PrEP as well for over a year, which would then put him at risk should he have any type of sexual relations with anyone.
So why PrEP, though?
I'm not sure why they said PrEP was one of them, but that's basically what they had said to him. And and the problem here lies
because it's an indicator of your sexuality. It's just...
And it's an indicator that, you know, the majority of the people that use PrEP are either, you know, in the LGBT community. We use it as a means to save our lives. I mean, we've been through the AIDS crisis. We know what it's like. So I wanted to get your input on what you thought about the FDA rules before I move into the next revelation.
So.
Take it, Elsie.
Can we just please stop being dicks?
Seriously.
When people engage in these conversations, we've had these conversations before, I think, with all three of you guys, because Chris's been there as well. When the stigma that gay men are promiscuous and unsafe because they're gay is such a ridiculous notion to me. And I cannot understand how we have not evolved from that mind frame, right?
So
those regulations were put in place because we as a society forced gay men to find unsafe ways to be able to express and satisfy their physiological needs. So it's not that men, because they're gay, were out there looking for unsafe experiences to be able to satisfy their physiological needs. We, because we're a bunch of fucking assholes, put them in a position, especially younger gay men, to have to find places that were not that were not ideal, that were not safe. You know, they couldn't get protection, so that they could, in fact, have healthy sexual relationships. Mm-hmm. Other men. And so, yes, STIs were very prevalent within the gay community because society forced men to have to resort to such unsafe practices, right?
Or hide or find places that weren't ideal to meet up with someone.
Right. Because they were so stigmatized. And so we forced them into unsafe situations, because even looking for ways of being safe was stigmatized, right? And so I get that then created the problem of a prevalence in STIs within the gay community, but then that's changed since then. And so for us to, so we're less dicks now?
Most of us
have not taken the time to revise those guidelines, and then we're keeping men in the LGBT community from contributing positively to society.
Right. So here's my thing and my take on it, because Tom was going to try to silence me, and I stopped that shit right quick. No. But anyway, so here's my thing. So my issue is not only with the fact that these are outdated regulations, and HIV is controllable whether you have it or don't have it now. It's manageable if you're honest and open about what's going on with your body. Mm-hmm. My issue is everything is fucking screened. Every piece, every sample or donation brought in is screened. And who is to say that a heterosexual couple doesn't have it? Who is to say that a heterosexual couple can't get it? Why is it that the homosexual, you know, group, our group, men are still told we can't give blood when we need to, when a lot of people want to give blood? The reality is, it can come from anybody, and it doesn't matter if you're gay, straight, bi, transgender. It doesn't fucking matter. The reality is the fucking CDC or whoever the fuck, FDA, needs to change the fucking regulation, because people want to help, but people don't want to help because you want to do it just because now we're in a crisis. Like, are you fucking kidding me? So it's manageable now. Screen the shit and take the blood.
Exactly.
So that is the other thing, right? So we didn't have the technology to screen as we do now. And I cannot donate blood that doesn't get screened. They don't take my blood and just go ahead and infuse it into someone else. So there should be no difference. We continue to be assholes about this and continue to hold this stigma against the community.
Continue to segregate. I mean, like, this is just another instance of segregation within our community, because, yes, we're Americans. We can do whatever we want, but we can't support our country by giving blood.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And especially in a time like this, it's so critical, right? So I wanted to throw in the icing on the cake. So this was April 1st. The very next day, the FDA published new guidelines. And within those new guidelines, it said that gay men can now donate blood after being abstinent from sex after 3 months, same thing after stopping the intake of Truvada for 3 months. I lost my shit. I'm like, first, it was a year. Now it's 3 months. It should not be at all. First of all, Truvada is a medication that's available to everyone. So it's not only gay men or people in the LGBT community or transgender men and women that take Truvada. A lot of people take Truvada. It is a very, very amazing drug that has literally shifted the battle and the fight with HIV and how we get to that point where we can say we're an HIV-free society or we eradicate HIV or the possibility of being able to contract the virus. It's ludicrous to think that a person who's heterosexual, doesn't have multiple partners, or that doesn't subject themselves to having sex in risque places, or that they have...
Or isn't lying in general.
My point. And so the fact that now, all of a sudden, you need blood, you're going to sit here and just give us, instead of a whole year, 3 months now? It should have been eradicated completely. And that pisses me off. I think this government is horrible, and what they're doing is just ridiculous. That ban should go away.
You're 100% right, but you know what pisses me off even more? Mm-hmm. The fact that, oh, we're in a crisis, we're in a need. So so this regulation that was so important and so needed.
It was a lifetime ban.
And so fucking needed, mm-hmm. It can just be like wiped away.
Yeah.
Clearly, it wasn't important. Clearly, it wasn't needed. If there is blood that's HIV positive, they will throw it away. Like, they screen it, motherfucker. Like, what the fuck?
My point.
And they'll screen it the same way for people who are, to Tommy's point, straight and in monogamous relationships. Because being in a straight relationship doesn't make you monogamous. It doesn't make you safer. It doesn't make you more conscious about the activity in which you engage. It's bullshit. And that is exactly why the screening is in place. Because you cannot trust individuals to be completely safe in sexual activities, period. So we've used this as yet one more tool to just be raging assholes. Mm-hmm.
And there's part of me that wants to be vindictive about this and not fucking give blood. But right now, I can't be vindictive, but I am pissed off. I am very pissed off.
And we should be. You know, so our good friend...
And that's what I would say... sorry, one more thing. That's what I would say to the general LGBTQ plus public is, yes, be pissed off, but don't be vindictive right now. People are in need.
Well, right. I mean, so our good friend Patrick Dunn, he's the executive director of the New Haven Pride Center. He posted something on his personal Facebook. We're friends. And so I was able to see it. And I'm going to read it. Patrick, I'm sorry if this, you know. But I am. He goes, I'm not going to celebrate the partial end of bigotry around queer men and trans folks giving blood because it's being done out of convenience for straight people, not because they value our community or because they value or care to increase equality. This is an act of convenience and desperation and not an offer of respect and dignity. And, you know, to me, those words.
It's not wrong.
Exactly how I feel. And, right. You know, it's like 6 months ago, my blood was worthless. You don't want it because I'm a gay man and I have sex. And, you know, unfortunately, I can't donate blood. I could go and lie. But why should I have to? Nobody else does.
I will, however, silver line that because it causes a lot of impotence to all of us, gay and straight, because it's bullshit. Right. But we got to take the small win. And we had this conversation previously in the show.
But is it a win, though? Like, Elsie, is it a win? Or when this crisis is over, are they going to go right back?
No, because now it establishes a precedent. And so now we're looking at hi, Ita. That's my friend Ita contributing.
And her comment, the new guidelines are outdated. And they were published on April 2nd. Yes, they are.
Right. And they're still crap and they're still outdated. But I find it unlikely, and this is my hopeful me, right? I find it unlikely that we will see the benefits of allowing all of society to donate blood with as many shortages as we go through, and then taking it back. It's my hope. You know what I mean? So I'm looking at it as a small win, maybe now. That they know you're going to screen it just the same as you screen everybody else's blood. So be less of a dick now.
But see, the thing is, Elsie, they know that they screen the blood the same way they do everybody else's blood. They're just being bigots about it. And, you know, it's at this point, it's just plain old, like literally them being bigots. It's all right. about them just saying, fuck you. And guess what? We can say fuck you back. But like Nick said, you know, I want to be vindictive. I want to be.
I don't want to be vindictive. I want to be, but I don't want to be.
But that's where I was going. I want to be vindictive. I want to say, go fuck yourself and you're not going to get my blood and this and that. But then I think about the fact that what if my mother was ill?
What if I was ill?
What if Nick was ill? Or what if somebody that needed.
And you're allowing assholes to also turn you into a dick, which. Uh-huh. That's rendering way too much power.
So look, at the end of the day, if the blood has been screened and you need the blood, you're not going to sit there and say, all right,
who gave it to
what was the last name of the person? What was the color of their skin? What was their orientation? You're going to be like, give me the fucking blood, motherfucker.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And right. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's a fucked up regulation. Yeah, thanks for the 3 months, but really it should be none. At this point, right? Because the whole entire thing behind this is that there are a lot of people out there, a lot. There's thousands of people that have recovered from COVID-19. And there are thousands of people that may include gay men and transgender women or transgender men or members of the LGBT community that have recovered from COVID-19 and could provide much critical plasma needed from their blood to help people heal. Who are in really dire circumstances. Mm-hmm. And we're sitting here.
I do want to take the small win. I do. Yeah. Like, I don't want to. I don't see us going back to not continue having this continue to be the trend and potentially, you know, ban those 3 months where blood is blood.
Well. Given the way this president and this government and this administration has reversed a lot of things that were put in place to better humanity, I wouldn't put it past them. So,
well, now you're just going to make sense. Debbie.
Well, and my issue too, Elsa, like, I think I get what you're saying where you want to take the small win, but at the same time, I don't think of this as a win at all. I mean, we've been pushing and pushing and pushing for this to happen for a long time.
Right. It wasn't to validate you as a community.
Yeah. And it
benefits that society at large
needed
from the community.
Right. So like, I don't feel like our community is winning right now. What I feel like is our community is being asked to finally help. And as much as, like I said, I don't want to be vindictive and I'll probably end up helping. The reality is the fight that we've been going through to get the right to give blood, which is ridiculous that we actually even have to do it. It has made little to no headway in the past couple of years. Right. So the reason that it's happening now, it's not a win. It's not a win that we did. We didn't fight for this. This was now, it's almost like because they have changed the restriction now, I feel obligated to now give blood. Even though I'm pissed off at the reality of the situation. Like, I feel like I should give blood because I can right now, because I've been quarantined, because I'm sorry, everybody, but I haven't had sex in 3 months. But the reality is, like, and I'm not on Truvada. Like, these are I feel an obligation now where I didn't fight for an obligation. I wanted a right. But our society is now in a place where we need. There's an obligation. We need to help people. And it is a small win in a really fucked up way. But it's also so fucking infuriating that it took a pandemic to do this. And when the AIDS crisis happened, how long did it fucking take for the United States to fucking respond to the reality of the fact that AIDS was happening? They just called it gay cancer. Like, I don't know. Walk me down this road. Somebody calm me down. Let's switch the subject.
Why don't we give you something else to scream about before we end on happy news and exciting fun stuff?
But wait.
I was going to say, Elsie,
we didn't talk about
story.
Your Roomba.
No, we're talking about the Roomba. But I did wanna contribute this very good point that my friend Ita, who's a new listener, say hi to Ita, everybody.
Hi, Ita.
Hi.
This is a very good point that she's making. And I wish she would have shared it on Facebook for everybody to see. This gives you an actual platform to make the case for no months at all. Because now a precedent will be set that says to everyone in the medical community, you're full of shit. There's no reason why this is a case. This is the case. So this is a very good point that she's making. You mm-hmm. now have a solid platform to say, well, here's the business case. You did it for 3 months. Our blood is fine. Let's make our guidelines be what they are for the rest of society, as they should be. So it's a very good point, Ita. Thank you. In terms of silver lining it, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's definitely going to help with the conversation. It'll be a stepping stone for the conversation in the future. And that is a silver lining. And thank you for bringing that up. But sometimes when you're in the heat of things like we are right now, it's hard to look at it and you need the outside perspective.
Yeah, absolutely.
To find that silver lining. No, so you're right. There is a silver lining in the sense that there's now a conversation that can be had, a stepping stone provided for us to continue fighting for what should have already been done.
Right.
Agreed.
Right. So, but you're not wrong at all in your feelings. And I want to make that clear. It is frustrating mm-hmm. that for years you've been making this point, and now because the rest of society finds it beneficial, it's okay. We were just being dicks.
Yeah. What's also frustrating is that I'm not going to put a percentage on it, but there is a large percentage of the non-ally heterosexual community that have no idea that we can't give blood because we're human beings and we have sex. Mm-hmm. Like, they have no idea. And people like you are woke, but a lot of people just aren't. And that's more infuriating to me, that this is breaking news and people are like, what do you mean they can't give blood? Mm-hmm. Like my sister, my father, what? Like,
I know.
Hello?
Welcome to reality.
I have a podcast. I'm a gay activist. What do you mean you didn't know this shit?
Yeah, Nick, you're family. You're family, man.
Clearly.
All right. So, Elsie, you have your first very own story that you added to the notes that we're going to let you have the stage on, because you're going to break your cherry with the story. So tell us what you've got teed up for us.
So do you guys take a look at that? Because this whole conversation about the donating blood is actually a perfect segue for this. And so I have some conflicting thoughts and feelings about the protests that are going on against the Field Hospital in Central Park that's being essentially, what's his face, Graham, is running that hateful asshole.
Franklin Graham's organization is the one that put up the funding to put that hospital up in Central Park.
Right, and he's making volunteers actually signed off on. They have to essentially sign a statement that says that they actually do support where the church stands, and that, you know, they acknowledge that marriage is between a single man and a single woman.
Do they do this with the doctors that are working that hospital? I mean, do doctors have to make that claim that they
because the doctors are already vetted for, right? But volunteers, he's definitely having them. Volunteers that are coming specifically for the Field hospital have to sign this statement. Now, here's my take. We're keeping people safe. You need me to sign that? I'll fucking sign it. While I have everybody, without asking what their sexual orientation is, come in for care. So Mount Sinai is assuring us that they are being very mindful and very vigilant, that there's no discriminatory behavior going on in terms of who is admitted, right, and who is provided care. So they're saying that they're being very vigilant. Franklin has also said, Ram, that they're not, in fact, turning anybody away on the basis of their sexuality. And then the reason I thought it was interesting, and the reason I thought this was actually a perfect segue in terms of, do we take the small win, and they're helping the community at large, is because Reverend Billy Town actually yesterday broke the lines and tried to plant a rainbow flag in signs of protest because of what Graham stands for. And so I kind of wanted to get your thoughts on that. When we talk about small wins, do we want to be as hateful as the rest of society? Or not as hateful, but do we want to hold on to our very strong, very valid feelings against Graham?
Yes.
And potentially hinder... Shut up, Trish, wait! And potentially hinder their ability to help the community when we don't know yet that they are, in fact, not caring for people within the community. That motherfucker doesn't know the Bible, because that is not what marriage is defined as in the Bible. Okay. Right. It's so, one man to however many fucking women that motherfucker can support. Like, if we're going to quote the Bible, can we quote the Bible? Go mm-hmm. on.
I think that we can't turn away what's needed right now in order to maintain and save lives. We don't know if they're turning people away for being gay, but then again, like, how are you going to tell if someone's gay? If they're flamboyant, you're gonna say, oh, you're gay. There are plenty of men out there that aren't gay that have a high-pitched voice, like, fuck off. So
Right. That
being said, I think that this is a teachable moment, right? So for volunteers that are going in there, I think they are now going to be able to realize how hateful and bigoted people like this reverend is. Not reverend, sorry, who was the one that So how bigoted this system is, and how bigoted the system can be. But there are plenty of religious organizations that aren't bigoted and are supportive. So if you are going to volunteer, props, do it. If you have to sign it, I'm sorry. And if you sign it because you actually believe it, fuck off. But if you sign it, now you know what we have been fighting for. This is definitely a teachable moment. And yes.
Go ahead.
I think that, like, you know, putting a rainbow flag out there and making a statement, that's fine. Right now, not the time for it. You should not be putting yourself in risk. But I think having the article come out, having conversations around it is very important. I think because this is a teachable moment, the fact that people have to sign something that says something along those lines. We don't know what it actually says, but
I'm actually an asshole.
Right.
What I wish for this situation is that people in the community who are healthcare providers, I want them all to come volunteer and sign the fucking thing and then post it with their same sex partners.
That would be great.
That would be epic. So here's my take on it. If you are a medical professional who's providing critical life-saving services to anyone that's in any of those establishments currently, and you had to lie on that piece of paper to do your job, bravo. I salute you.
Right.
I salute you.
Right.
However, I'm going to disagree with Nick. It is always the correct time to fight for our rights to exist.
Oh yeah, 100%. But so, not if you're putting yourself and other people at risk.
So
especially at a hospital.
If you want to run and bring a gay flag and stab it into the ground in front of this hospital, and they're being bigots and telling you, no, you can't do that, then you keep doing it.
And you then know he gets what arrested I do? And dragged
I
out.
Encourage,
by...
I encourage.
Okay, so Tom,
Yes.
No, I'm sorry. He got arrested, dragged out, and he's probably in a jail cell right now where he's probably surrounded by people who may or may not have coronavirus. Right now is not the time to put yourself in a situation where you could put yourself at risk. I'm sorry. I mean, you're right to... Okay.
You know, we've been fighting for our rights to exist for so many years that it doesn't... Pandemic or not, we have to fight for our rights. That's where I stand. And, you know, we can disagree, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right. So that's why I wanted to bring it up, because I think it merits conversation. Mm-hmm. And it's conflicting for me, because I agree with both of you. The time to have the fight, there's always a time to have a fight, right? To have the fight for our civil rights. But then in terms of perspective, you know what I mean? We have to look kind of at what's a blue chip value action in terms of the community at large. And that's a really hard pill to swallow when you are on the losing end of the spectrum, where, you know, we're going to continue to be treated as second class citizens. Even when it comes to helping other people, I'm just not human enough to help other people. I'm just not human enough to get the care that I need so that I can be healthy. It's such a tough topic to discuss. And there's no hard line.
Yeah, but I also think like we are finding ourselves in a new time, something that we've never experienced before. And Tom, you know me. I've been on marches. Like, I'm super vocal. Mm-hmm. I try to find teachable moments all the time. But I think that there is a way to protest right now. And I think that we have to relook at what it means to safely protest so that we're not endangering ourselves and others.
He delivered a flag to the Samaritan's Purse
and then hospital. Because of that, he got arrested. And now he could potentially still be in jail. Contracting coronavirus.
But you know what? He's doing it to prove a point. And I think it's a very important point. I mean, you're talking about
hundreds of years fighting for
our rights, whether corona or not. You know, again, we're going to have to disagree on this one. I think that, you know what? There's no better time than today to always fight for our rights, because we have brothers and sisters in our transgender community that die every day.
I think you're right. Hospital I think you're 100% right.
COVID-19
there is a way. I'm not saying you have to be backstage. I'm saying there is a way, a healthy way to do it. And the reality is he's not just putting himself at risk. He's putting a lot of other people at risk. And if he has a family, or if people have a family and they get locked up, they can contract it and then spread it to those people. I mean, stay at home is a thing for a reason.
Because he didn't stay home. He's getting arrested because he delivered a flag to Central Park. It's a public space.
But what happens when you get arrested, Tom? Where do you go?
You go to jail.
And in jail.
But again, taking the coronavirus out of it, what I'm saying is, no matter when it is, our rights.
You can't take the coronavirus out of it right now.
No, you can't.
You're right. You're 100% right. Our rights are not
out of it. But it's never, ever a wrong time to fight for our rights, because we have to do that every day. People are dying.
Yeah, you just have to be smart about it right now. Exactly. People are dying every day. So you have to be smart about it.
You have to gain perspective, right? And so you're both right. And that's why I wanted to bring it up, because it's so tough to keep perspective while your rights continue to be violated, to Tommy's point, you know. And historically, anyone who's ever fought against a status quo when we've had unfairness against
anyone has gotten arrested,
has gotten killed, has gotten lynched, you know, has gotten
murdered. The fact that he got, I don't even understand why he got arrested, though. That I don't get.
Because
of the protests.
Because of the confinement thing. Quarantine thing. I think.
Well, I don't think it had anything to do with the confinement. I think that he went there in protest. He was protesting and brought a flag and ended up getting arrested as a result.
So he was asked to leave and he refused to. And so now they're charging him with resisting arrest. It's essentially why he's arrested.
So one of the things that was mentioned in the story that Elsie brought up is that Mount Sinai officials said that they are seeking to ensure that there is no discrimination against any either patients or staff. While the organization may have differences of opinions when it comes to COVID-19, we are united in this cause, and we will care for everyone, and no patient or staff will be discriminated against. That's what the spokesperson for the hospital said. You know, but one thing is for the spokesperson for the hospital to say one thing, and the organization that's building this hospital do something else.
Right, because there's no mechanism in place to enforce it.
So, you know, it's... the other thing, too, that there's a state senator, Brett Hoyman, who is gay, and he's urging city officials and Mount Sinai to monitor the field hospital. He issued a statement last week calling on Graham to publicly assure LGBTQ people, New Yorkers, that they will receive the same treatment as anyone else in the Central Park Field Hospital. Has Graham made that announcement? Probably not.
He's not going to do that.
Yeah. And so
he's not going to do that because he's unfortunately... So he's unfortunately and fortunately, again, because this is a very, very polarizing subject, mm-hmm. right? He is providing way too valuable a service mm-hmm. for anyone to want to take a stand against him and make a point and make an example out of him. You know what I mean? So he's essentially getting away with forcing his views, right, mm-hmm. on society at large, hiding behind this good deed, unfortunately. So what this has provided him with is essentially an opportunity to continue to be a raging asshole, to continue to be a bigot, but here I am doing this good thing, so you guys have to kind of forgive me for it.
Not so much forgive me, but you know, here's let me find a way to con myself into forcing people to read my views. Acknowledge my views. You want my services? This is what I believe in. Sign the damn piece of paper. And again, I want to applaud any healthcare worker out there that is working in this facility and that may have signed that, knowing very well that they're against it. Because you know what? At the end of the day, what you're doing is a service and protecting an oath that you took. An oath that you took to be there as a healthcare provider for your patient and not so much for the administrator. And that is also important. So, Trish.
Not an easy one to tackle.
No, and it's never an easy one. And, you know, we encourage anyone that has comments to send them to us and let us know.
Yes, please.
Nick, you have a nice little list of things. I want to leave it on a good term.
1 hour and 37 minutes. You really want me to go through this?
Yeah, it takes like 5 seconds. It's a good idea for things that people can do while they're home.
Okay, I'm pulling it up.
Nasty. Like, where is he going? Where are you going, Trish? Where are you going?
Exactly.
What do you mean?
Where are you going after this? Are you going into your kitchen?
I want to eat dinner. I want to jerk off. Like, come on,
guys. He wants to start practicing that list.
Both important.
I've got to FaceTime Dr. G.
Both important, and at least one of them you can do while sitting right
there. All right. So this is slightly uplifting. It's a little bit more fun, but obviously we're all looking for things to do. I talked about me doing a puzzle the other day. Actually, hold on 1 second. Give me 1 second. Talk for a second.
Lord have mercy. So he's going to go get his puzzle. Did he finish it? I wonder if he finished it. But
Steve kept some part.
All right. So there are some LGBTQ plus board games that are super fun, and you can order them on Amazon, or at least some of them. So these are the top five. I wanted to share them with you. Gay Monopoly. It's obviously Monopoly, but gay.
Yeah. Right?
Super fun. And it features some great Tom Finland gay themed Tom Finland art, gay themed properties like Fire Island and Castro Street, ongoing and so on and so forth. I believe it is available on Amazon, but it is a little expensive. Second, there's Homogeneous, which I don't believe is available anymore. This was made, I believe, in 1989. I'm not exactly sure what the game, like how to play the game, but the goal is like coming out of the closet by answering questions with your friends.
I love that clever ass name.
It's amazing.
And then number three is
Dial Gay for Murder. And it's basically like a murder. It's like Clue for, but like gay themed, right? So like you find out who murdered a certain individual.
Mm-hmm. With a dildo, then, for example.
Mm-hmm. Or a candlestick.
You never know.
And then number four is That's So Gay. This game is available. It's only $25 on Amazon. And it's a fun game about LGBTQ plus history. That's exciting.
Okay.
Cool.
Uh-huh. And then the Rainbow Game, which is like That's So Gay. The Rainbow Game from 1992 also frames itself as an educational game as well. So those are fun things that you can do. There are other things like Top to Bottom, the Gay, G-A-Y, ME game, Cards Against Humanity. I believe there's also a gay Cards Against Humanity. Cox Abreast Hostility. Cox Abreast Hostility. I don't know what that is. Odious Blocks Gay Boy Edition and Jarring Questions. So there are a lot of fun games that you can order online or just play with your friends. I tried to look up an app earlier to see if there was like a gay themed like trivia app or something. I couldn't find one, but this is what I'm doing. This is my fun game.
Let's see.
It's a 550 piece puzzle with two men sleeping next to one another.
Oh, it's so cute. And then what do you do afterwards? Like when you're done, do you put it in a frame and hang it up somewhere?
No, I put it back in the box.
So you mean to tell me you take 550 pieces of something, put it together, and you're not even going to display it somewhere?
Tom, it's not about the destination. It's about the journey.
Oh, my God. You're so right. It's not about the what. It's about the how.
But we all know how it gets put together, and it takes a long time. And then to just see you scramble it up and throw it back in a box, it's just
well, like, it's more about stimulating your mind and not, like, sitting in front of the TV all day, you know?
No, and that's amazing, right? So
you can stimulate your mind with two sexy men on, like, hello?
So while and you're building cuddling. It...
It's me and Steve, everybody. Everybody say hi to Steve.
Hi, Steve. So when you're
he's building... the one that's like, ugh.
So when you're building really it, close. You get stimulated, and then when you hang it up, you get stimulated all over again, because then you get to look at it.
If you look really close, you can see...
Well, you just made his point, Tom.
See, Steve's
face.
He's like, fuck this.
Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm ready.
I'm like so happy.
I'm ready. Wait,
can you move it? I need to see the middle groin area because that bottom looks like he's getting bottomed.
Right?
I can't.
Thank you for that list of games. I think it was cute to just sort of kind of, you know, get people are in the right mood. We had very healthy
conversations,
very heavy conversations, and sometimes it's just always great to end it up in a good thing. So all right, mm-hmm. We have one thing that Nick is going to do for us, and then we'll move into the rest of the closing. So Nick, why don't you tell us what you're doing?
Yeah. All right, are you so everybody, it's Mama Kim's minute, but it'll probably be like Mama Kim's really quick minute. So all right, everybody. So Mama Kim's Minute, of course, brought to you by... Actually, this is not brought to you by anyone besides Pocket Pride. But number
Pocket
one...
Pocket Pride Plus.
Thank you. Number one...
Mama Kim's Minute pluses. Go on.
Okay. Number one, blood donor restrictions for gay men eased in U.S. amid coronavirus outbreak. Number two, Pete Buttigieg has completed his transformation from gay geek to scruffy stud.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Number three, LGBTQ plus groups team up for online global pride during coronavirus crisis.
Mm. So in these stories, of course, you'll find them posted on tonight's post for the episode. So you can go there, click on the links and read the stories so that you can, you know, pretty much see what they're all about. So Elsie, it's your turn. Guess what you're doing?
Is it the gay term?
The gay talk term. All right. So, what do you say first?
Why do you do this to me, Tommy?
So
this week's gay talk term is brought to you, of course, by
GayRealEstate.com. Lord have mercy.
Take it away, Elsie.
I can't wait until we're in the studio again.
Okay, today's term is the housewife's hour.
Ooh.
It happens during the mid-afternoon and is a masturbation period enjoyed by housewives, shut-ins, and stay-at-homes as an interruption to boredom.
Perfect.
And it's a perfect for
seclusion. Quarantine.
In quarantine. It's a quarantine exercise. And as Dr. G says, jerking off is good. So go for it.
Yeah, literally.
Keep your morale is good for overall health.
Yeah. So, All right. So, Nick.
All right. On this day in gay history, of course, brought to you by
GayRealEstate.com.
Sound delay. All right. So Alexander James Adams' first performance using new name. When? April 6, 2007. Where? Washington. The transgender musician, formerly known as Heather Alexander, performs in Seattle, Washington, for the first time as Alexander James Adams.
Woo-hoo!
At NorwestCon 30.
That's awesome. All right. So I want to thank everyone for joining us. And if you love the show, make sure that you go. Let me go find this on here because over here it's just not working. Make sure that you go subscribe, rate, and review our show on your favorite podcasting service. By doing so, you get the latest and greatest of our show delivered right to your favorite device or web browser as soon as our episodes are published. You can also support us on Patreon, which allows you, our listeners, to support our show with a pledge donation every month. We collect them monthly, and that can be in any denomination of a dollar or more. Elsie?
Our show is available on our website.
No. You skipped a whole section.
No. I'm looking at my notes.
Next week,
we welcome.
Next week, we welcome Brandon James, author of Lyrics of My Life.
You're going to get it. It's going to be fine.
That's the story of her life.
All right. So thank you to our guest, our constant guest, Dr. Evan Goldstein, for joining us again on today's episode. Don't forget to explore your sexuality. Dr. G, why is that twice? Anyway. Okay, so here's a PSA. Get your discount for Future Method today. Each time you clean out with water or enemas, delicate tissues are harmed and cells are damaged, increasing chances of injury and or STDs. The first of its kind, doctor-developed formula that gently cleanses before you play without hurting your bum. And now you can use code GAYTALK20 for 20% off, valid for one purchase or on subscription per person.
That's awesome.
Our show is available on our website. Wait, we're putting a rubber on it.
You know, I think we're gonna have to find our new rhythm, but that's okay.
Yeah.
I hate you so much.
I think we're just gonna call it Elsie Jumpings or something. Like jump Elsie around and get to the end. Elsie, okay.
Our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under shows and episodes. It is also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play, Music, and Stitcher Radio.
All right. Nick announces you can find us on social media, Facebook, GayTalk 2.0, Instagram, GayTalk 2.0, Twitter, at GayTalk 20. Email us at gaytalk2.0@gmail.com. Tom, take it away.
Thank you, guys. And if you need to reach out to us, just head on over to our website. Click on the Contact Us tab located at the top of your web browser. There you can leave comments, you can suggest topics, or you can submit a question for the cast or an individual host. You can also call us and leave us your questions via voice message. Our phone number is 334-GAY-TALK. And if you need those digits, it is 334-422. 98255. Don't forget that we do stream live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can access that audio live stream by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. With that, ladies and gents, that is our show. Thank you, and y'all have a good night. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.